One of the best stories that ever happened, and it just tickled my grandpa to death, because I believe my grandpa was an elder in the Methodist Church. I think it was the Methodist Church back in Illinois. But it always tickled him to tell this story. My dad and my brother Scott and grandpa were out working. And they got to the place, and as they walked in, the lady who was there at the home said, "Well, who do we have here?" And my dad said, "Well, of course you know I'm Dan Herridge, and this is my son Scott." And she said, "Oh, we got the father and the son here. So who's this gentleman?" And my grandpa chimed in, "The Holy Ghost," and started laughing like crazy. He thought that was the funniest story, and he told that story many, many times. And it still makes me smile today, and I wasn't even there. But my dad always chose to make certain that grandpa had an opportunity to earn some money and to be able to have something to do during the day. Because sitting out on a farm all day long, every day, isn't a recipe for joy and enthusiasm. And he was able to do that. And I really appreciate that my dad functioned that way. There's a statement that I have here from Frank Pittman. And I'm not going to have a lot of quotes today, but this one I thought was very poignant. "Fathering is not something perfect men do, but something that perfects men. Fathering is not something perfect men do, but something that perfects men." That's by Frank Pittman. Now, how important is it that we understand honoring our parents? Is this a big deal? Excuse me. Is this a big deal? Is this something that's very important to God? Turn with me over to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. And we'll get started here looking into our scriptures on how important it is to honor our parents. Matthew 15, and let's start in verse 1. "The scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' And how did Jesus respond? He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions?'" What's he talking about here? "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.'" Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? This means something to God, and we'll figure out why. Verse 5, "But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." And then he says, "Hypocrites." So it's very important to God that we honor our father and mother. For the rest of the sermon, let's examine this fifth commandment and consider, why is this so important to God that it's the fifth commandment, and why is it so important to all mankind? So we're going to start. Does anyone know where we're going to start if we're going to look at the commandments? Does anybody have a guess, the first book we'll turn to? Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, right? Jeannie had it over here if you heard her on the speaker. She said Deuteronomy. Let's turn over to Exodus 20. We'll start there because it comes first. I remember as a little kid in Sabbath school being grilled into our heads, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. And probably half the time I said Exodus 5 and Deuteronomy 20 because I'm a bit dyslexic. Let's read Exodus 20 and we'll jump right to verse 12. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Well, that's interesting. That's not normally how we talk about that scripture, is it? When we talk about honor your father and mother, we have a little different thing we say. But what does it say again? "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which your Lord your God is giving you." So the original commandment in Exodus 20 talks about physical Israel and being long in the land that was promised to them by God. So there were some physical blessings from this. Let's jump over to Deuteronomy 5. Jeannie was on the right track. More to the story. Deuteronomy 5. Because we're understanding about what it means to honor our father and our mother. Deuteronomy 5, and let's go to verse 16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Okay, we got another piece of the puzzle. Once again, it's tied to the land. It's tied to that land that God promised to physical Israel. But it says that your days may be long and it may be well with you in the land. Okay. So honoring our father and mother has something to do with our days being longer. We heard that twice. And it says something about it may be well with you in the land which your Lord your God is giving you. Okay, there's another part of this then. Something about honoring our parents can make things well where we're dwelling. Got another piece of the puzzle. All right, so what does honor mean? We have to have a definition of honor. The Oxford definition of honor is to regard with great respect or high esteem. To regard with great respect or high esteem. Another meaning for honor is a rare opportunity or a privilege. It's an honor to be able to do something. It's a privilege. So when we think about honoring our parents, it's about respecting and esteeming them. And there's a privilege piece as well. Let's go to Ephesians 6:1 now. Let's jump to the New Testament, because what we see here, the Apostle Paul is contemporizing the commandment a bit in the way he explains it. Now, when we get to Ephesians, Paul, who was a student of the Bible and knew the scripture well, understood the benefits for physical Israel. But Paul wasn't giving a message to physical Israel. He was giving a message to many folks who had nothing to do with land in the promised land. So how did Paul phrase this? Let's turn over to Ephesians 6. Okay. Now, Ephesians 5, there's a lot of conversation about relationships, and you'll note that the last part of Ephesians 5 talks a lot about husbands. How are you treating your wives? Wives, how are you interacting with your husbands? Because how that relationship plays out will directly impact children. Correct? A healthy, happy marriage. Healthy, happy opportunity for the children. Let's start in verse 6. Paul starts with, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, we have obedience thrown in. Then what does Paul say in verse 2? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. You notice that he doesn't mention anything about the land here? He's bringing it up to speed for those of us that aren't physical Israelites. There's still blessings from honoring your father and mother. Now, what does he say in verse 2? It's the first commandment with promise. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean the first four commandments about God, there's no promises there? To have one true God? To remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? Number 4? Are there no promises associated with any of those commandments? What do you think? There are promises. So why did he say this is the first commandment with promise? Well, this is what made researching this commandment a lot of fun. Because there's more opinions out there than there are belly buttons on the earth. No one really agrees and can say fundamentally, this is what this means. But the opinion that I saw on why it says honor your father, which is the first commandment with promise, and I will say this, if my father-in-law and if my father and mother and my mother-in-law are listening to this sermon now, if you're out there, I look forward to his perspective on this because I didn't get a chance to give him a call and ask him, which I always love to do. So honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. What the commentaries were speaking to when I looked at this is they were focused on the fact that the commandments are broken up into two separate groups in theory. Remember Jesus Christ said, love your Lord with all your heart and mind and body. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we have the first four that really focus on loving God. And then we have the last five that focus on loving your neighbor. And the first thing for us to do if we're going to love our neighbor is to honor our father and mother. Wait, what? Why is that the first thing? Well, we're going to look at that. Why did God choose to make this number five the first part of loving our neighbor as ourselves? What else does it say here in verse 3? That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. We've talked a lot about why honoring our parents helps us live long on the earth. We believe that God blesses us when we live that lifestyle. That's a fact. It's simple to say from a physical perspective, if I listen to my parents, if I have parents that love me, I'm probably going to live a longer, healthier life. My parents say, when I'm a little toddler, don't run out in the street. Probably a good idea if I listen to that. As I grow up, my parents will give me advice. Don't be out at 3 a.m. jumping off a cliff into a dark pond to see if you can do crazy things like that. My mom probably would have said to me when I was at Ambassador College and up at summer camp, don't put one life jacket upside down on your waist and another life jacket on like this and zip them both up so you look like a giant banana and go banana rafting, which is leaping into the rapids and then floating down the rapids because you have one on your waist with your legs through it and one up here, which we did. And it was fun. And I had a gentleman in front of me. This isn't in my notes. Sorry, this is a cul-de-sac. I had a gentleman in front of me because we'd lock legs, right? I was behind. Hans Peterson was in front of me, a big 6'3", muscular guy. And then he held on to my legs, and I was behind him. And then my brother was behind me, and then a couple campers were behind him. And we had this big, long train, banana rafting. And we're going down these rapids, and it's rapids. And I look down, and Hans is under the water. He's about this far under the water. He's doing this with his arms, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I'd be afraid to do that. And we kept going and going, and he was still doing it. And I said, that's a little odd. So I reached down, and I grabbed his jacket, and I lifted him up out of the water, and he went, pow! And he said, because he was Australian, thanks, mate. I couldn't get back up. I thought I was going to die. So if I listened to my mother, had I asked her, should I do that, probably would, you know, it's better to, you can live longer by listening to the wisdom of your parents. So we see how Paul puts this to us in the New Testament. There's something about honoring our parents. Why is this the most important thing? Honoring our parents sets us up for every other relationship we will have in our lives. Honoring our parents sets us up for every other relationship. We're going to talk about the spiritual relationship. We'll get to that. And as we talk about what we gain from honoring our parents, be thinking about, this helps my relationship with God the Father. He is our Father. He wants us to see what a familial relationship is. He wants us to learn what it's like to be subservient to someone. That's why there's a hierarchical structure in the family. He wants us to understand what it's like to honor our peers. We got a boss at work. He wants us to understand what it's like to honor our boss. We have peers in the church and at work, and brothers and sisters. He wants us to understand how to honor our brothers and sisters. We may have people subordinate to us. When you're a little kid, maybe that's the puppy. Maybe that's the fish. Stephanie got a new fish. It's black and white. I wanted her to call it Popo, because that's what some people call the police. She wouldn't go for it. She went with Umbra. It's a really good name. I'm trying to pronounce Umbra. I like Popo better, but we've agreed. I need to show honor to my daughter and use the name that she chose. But we learn honor that way. So let's talk about the three phases of life and how we honor our parents in those different phases and what we can learn from it. So as I'm talking about this and as you're thinking about it, I would love for you, if you're taking notes, jot down some of the things you remember about your parents in that phase of life and how that inspired you and taught you something that you're doing now. The interesting part about this sermon, and for those of you that are out there online that don't know Omaha, if you could see our congregation today, you would say, this crew really honored their parents, because our days have been long upon the earth, aren't they? We have some experience in this room. So we're going to chalk that up to the fact that we're all very good at honoring our parents. The first phase of life, honoring our parents. We start honoring our parents as children in a subservient role. We start honoring our parents as children. So we don't have anyone in that phase here. I think in Des Moines, probably Jamie's over there. He's only two. So the way he honors his parents, we'll kind of cover that a little bit. I think Grayson's over there. Grayson Parada. Is that right, dear? Did I say it right? She says, I don't know. Well, I'll call you up, Roberto, and check and see, or call up Hannah and confirm. But Grayson's a teenager. So he's still, by definition, a child in his parents' household. And then I think, Hannah, I hear you're over there too. Hannah came back from ABC, but she's in the next set. She's still at home with her parents, but she's kind of in that next phase of life. So what do we learn when we start honoring our parents as a child? What do we learn? Think about it. We learn faith, because we believe that our mother and father are going to be there. As a baby, like a baby cries, right? A baby cries because a baby wants to be fed. We learn faith. We learn trust. We learn obedience. What's the first word that most young children say? No. I hear no from the audience. I would also take mama, mama, because it seems like mama goes first. Sometimes dada can slip in there. But no is one of the first words, because we learn obedience as a child. So when we think about learning faith, trust, and obedience, how do we learn these things, and how do those carry us through life? Well, I have jotted down, we're fed and clothed. So we learn that that's going to be there for us. We're protected. We're taught to speak. We're taught to walk. We're taught to think. I was a child in my parents' house. I'm going to tell a story on you, Mom, if you're listening. It's fun. It was our job to do chores, and especially if guests were coming over, to clean up the house. And raise your hand if you ever heard this. We're cleaning up the house, and I'd say, Mom, what am I supposed to do with this? And she'd say, find a place for it. Anybody ever hear that from their parents? Was it just me? Now, she didn't mean go stuff it somewhere. She meant use your brain, think, find a place for it. Now, this wasn't when I was two, obviously. This is when I was a little bit older, 10, 11, 12. And at that age, one of my chores was raking the shag carpet with the shag rake. Does anyone remember using a shag rake and raking your carpet? I see some hands up. Some are shaking their head like, what are you talking about? You got to look it up on YouTube. We had the long shag carpet because my dad was a carpet installer, I told you. Part of our job was to rake the shag, make sure it was all raked the right direction so it looked really fancy before everybody walked in and mussed it all up. But we learned to think. And you know what else our parents teach us? We learn to dream. We talk to our parents about what we want to be, what we want to do. I wanted to be a welder. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be a basketball player. I wanted to do a lot of different things as I grew up, because my parents allowed me to experience and learn. God does the same. Think about it. God does the same with us. This is the foundation of all of our relationships. How do we thank people? We learn how to love when we lead others by the example our parents set us. We learn how to love when we lead others. I have one quick story to tell here. I think I've told you before, but you may not remember. My great-grandmother Herridge, which was Grandpa Cliff's mom, was in the hospital. And we were in the car. We got to the hospital. Mom and Dad said they were going to go in and see her. And we chose to, this is the grandma, by the way, when I gave my sermon last week. Eyes weren't very good, and she said I was pretty enough to be a girl, and my brother laughed about it. So For some reason, she remembered my name as she got older. So we were in the car, and it was my brother and me, and our little sister was 2, so that would have made me about 11 and a half, 12 range. And Mom and Dad said, "Do you want to go in?" And we said, "Nah, we'll wait in the car with Molly." And they said, "Okay." So they went in. About 45 minutes later, they came back out. And Mom said, "You should have gone in." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Because Grandma Herridge asked where you were." And I was old enough at that time to feel guilty. So my parents taught me properly. I was like, "Oh." I said, "Well, when are we going to come back to see her?" They said, "Oh, a couple, 3 days, we'll come back to see her." She died that night. So I didn't get to see her. So I remembered that. So then I said to myself, but I'm giving credit to my parents, I'm going to hug my grandma every time I say goodbye to her, from this point forward. So we went to the Herridge farm, and when we left, I hugged Grandma Herridge goodbye. Grandma Dorothy was her name, which is ironic because my wife had a Grandma Dorothy too. So you figure we got 4 grandparents and 2 of them were Dorothy. It must have been a popular name back then. So I hug her and I'm feeling pretty good about myself, and I walk down the porch and I get in the car and my dad says, "What'd you do that for?" I said, "Well, I hug Grandma because I love her." He goes, "Don't you think Grandpa wants a hug?" And 2 things went through my head here because I was that age. First one was, I didn't think about that. The second one was, what are you doing telling me to hug him? You didn't hug anybody. I'm the only one in this gig that hugged anybody, and here I'm getting flack. I was smart enough not to say that though, because I learned obedience, right? It's just going through my brain. My parents have never heard this story. So I said, "Well, hold up." And I ran back up and I gave my grandpa a hug. So for those of you that know me today, if we're friends and if you're comfortable with it, you're probably gonna get a hug from me when I see you and when I tell you goodbye. Because it's important to me to show that affection. I was taught that from my parents. Show that trust, show that love. And I'll say on the positive side, even though we lost my aunt who was single, Aunt Ellen on the Casey side, my mom's sister, we lost her early because she had a heart attack. Total surprise, she died in bed. We'd just been up there the day before. And I always felt good that I gave her a hug and said, "I love you," before we left. So something I learned from my parents. We learn how to love. What else do we learn as children? We learn how to take correction. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. When you think about what you learned as a child. Verse 4. "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." It's so easy when we're in the Christian faith to want our children to be perfect. It's so easy to hold our children to a higher standard than we hold ourselves as human beings. But God tells parents, don't do that. And how does God treat us? Does he allow us to repent? Does he show us mercy? Does he let us know he loves us even when he's chastening us? And that's how parents and that's how the family unit teach us how to take correction. We learn how to share and sacrifice. Acts 20, verse 35. Let me turn over to Acts 20, verse 35. Another lesson we learn from honoring our father and mother. Acts 20, verse 35. "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Now, when we think back about times with our parents when we were in this stage of our life as children, our parents gave, most likely, much more than they ask of us. Now, everyone wasn't in the same environment, and I'll cover that here a little bit later. But we learn how to sacrifice and give for one another. And last but not least, what else can we learn from honoring our parents? Luke 6, verse 37. Luke 6, verse 37 talks about what we learn as young children and children as teenagers in the household of our parents. "Judge not that you should not be judged. Condemn not that you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." We learn as children that you can forgive others. My parents taught me to forgive others that I got frustrated with. And I don't know if this is genetic. I'm going to say this. As a little boy, it wasn't real hard to forgive, because pretty much when we got mad at somebody else, we went and punched them, tackled them, fought with them, then got up and went and had a sandwich and a soda. And if they beat us, we thought about the next time when I get him, I'm going to kick him in the knee or bite him on the leg or something so I win the next time. I found when raising two daughters, I learned as a parent. We didn't have emotional depth as little boys. There was no emotional depth and maturity there. Girls tend to have that sooner. And it was the why did this happen, and that hurt my feelings, and getting over that piece. And not only did I learn from seeing my wife teach them and from me being a part of that, I learned from them too. The learning goes both ways. We learn how to forgive. Now, as little children, or as children in our parents' household, how did we honor them? How did you honor your parents when you were a kid? Let's think about that. We should say thank you and please. Not take for granted that I have clothing and that I have food. And today's kids, that you have a cell phone maybe, that you have computer access and internet, that you have a car with gas in it that's willing to take us where we want to go. Come on, we're going to be late for practice. Thank you for taking me. I should have said a lot more of that. Thank you for picking me up. Thank you for putting up with the terrible smell that I have as a 14-year-old boy. Yes, I do need to take a shower, even though I don't want to. That's how we show honor at that stage physically. Listening to our parents. Listening to what they have to say. Listening to their stories. Helping with chores. I told you about raking the shag rug and cleaning off the table and other things that we needed to do. And many times as children and even as teenagers in the household, oh man, I'm really tired. I don't want to do that. Well, parents are pretty tired too. Sometimes sick and tired of our behavior, right? So we learn and we can honor them by helping. And last but not least, behaving appropriately in public. We honor our parents by doing that. Fred Astaire quote, I love this quote. The hardest job kids face today is learning good manners without seeing any. Think about television. Think about the late shows. Back with Johnny Carson, it used to be a funny show that you could watch and there was some balance and some humor. But what is it today? It's a constant berating of whoever's in charge. It's a constant put down. No honor. I'm not talking politics. I don't talk politics from the lectern. I'm just saying there's no honor. The jokes when I go back and watch the old things on YouTube were funny, that the comedians would come on or the actors would come on and what they talk about. Funny stories. It wasn't real stories to put people down. Why has honor been lost? What's the state of the family today? How many families have a great foundational unit when they're children to be able to learn these lessons, to honor our parents? But that's why this is the fifth commandment and the first with promise when it comes to how we treat our fellow man, honoring our parents. Well, what comes next? What's the next phase in life? We honor our parents as adults. My daughter, Stephanie, she's not here today. She's not feeling well. She's at home. I know she's listening. She's still living at home. She's still under my roof, but she's an adult. She has the suite in the basement. She has a job. She purchases things. She has her own car. She drives and she goes. She's an adult. How do we honor our parents as adults? That goes from being in your 20s all the way up to us here today. Some of us are blessed to have our parents still alive. Susie and I'm 57, we'd be 57 in November. Both sets of parents are alive. How do we honor them? The way we respect our parents says a lot about how we show respect to God. It should carry over to how we respect authority in general and how we love our parents when we're emancipated. Now, don't worry. I'm not perfect at this. I thought Mother's Day, Father's Day were right in the middle, doing sermons on the commandments. What a great one to dig into. And as I dug into this, I was, yay, I did this, yay. Oh, I could be much better at this. I could be much better at that. So remember, we're human beings, we're not perfect. One of the things we learned as little children is how we are forgiven when we repent and to show grace to one another. If we've got some lingering issues with our parents, we can apologize and have them forgive. We can talk to them respectfully and hope that they will change so we can forgive them, because we want to honor our parents even as adults. What are some ways that we can honor our parents as adults? Listen to advice. Sometimes that's hard to do. Titus 2, verses 3 through 6 tells us the older people in the body of Christ, the older women and older men, should be teaching the younger women and younger men. Now, there's an obligation and a responsibility there. You teach in a way, don't provoke, right? Don't provoke our children to wrath. Teach. What if I have no children? Todd, does this not apply to me? No. We all have children. We all have adopted children in the church. We're a big church family. We want to listen to the advice that our older parents have. We always correct in love. 1 Timothy 5:1. Turn over there with me. This one hit home close to me. We always want to correct in love. And I loved reading this because I hadn't read it in quite some time. 1 Timothy 5, verse 1. What does it say about, if we're younger, what we should do as Christians? 1 Timothy 5:1. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. So my own father, I don't need to be rebuking. What's wrong with you? You should know better. For any older man that I come into contact with, you know I'm a manager at where I work at work. There are older people that work for me. Don't be shocked. There are older people that work for me. Actually, half of my crew is older than me. 4 of my 6. What does it say here in the Bible? I should not be rebuking them. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't give direction and that I don't ask people to do things, but do not rebuke an older man. Exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers. And it's not just for the men. Older women as mothers. Younger women as sisters with all purity. And then I'll throw in the next scripture, even though honor widows who are really widows. It's easy when we think we have the right way to do things as we go to college, which our parents typically support us in, as we go out and get jobs that maybe our parents never had the opportunity to have, and as we learn all these new things and become very smart and very wise, to want to rebuke as opposed to exhort. But we should correct in love. How else can we honor our parents as adults? Listen to stories. Listen to stories. Maybe I've heard a story 100 times. There's someone in the audience, very dear, who said, "Have I told you this before?" That's one of their favorite things. And to be fair, probably 3/4 of the time, yes. But that's okay. There's always time to listen to a story. And think about where the story's coming from. Why is this an important story for my parents or for any older person to want to tell? What is it about this story that makes them proud of the story? Or it's a shocking story. Or it's a meaningful story. I was sharing a story with someone last week, and we were talking about music and lyrics and how when we hear certain songs, it takes us back to that moment. And both of us had tears in our eyes talking about people that were no longer with us that we used to sing these songs with, or what things were like back then. And we won't see it again until the kingdom. So when you're hearing stories, ask yourself the question, why is this so important? Let me honor this person to understand what motivates this story. Another way, share our lives. Share our lives. Sometimes we just want to listen to the stories and get going. Sometimes we just want to do that. Hebrews 13, verse 16. Hebrews 13, verse 16. What does it say to us? But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Sometimes we need to share things about ourselves, too, and let people comment on them and let them know what's going on. How else can we honor our parents and indirectly honor God? Speak about God. Speak about God. Psalm 145, verse 4. Not much more inspiring than this. When we do this, we're honoring our parents and we're honoring our Father in heaven. Psalm 145, verse 4. A lot of exercise for a little scripture. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I'm happy to say when we were back in Cincinnati, we had a chance to go to dinner with Mr. Steve and Kathy Myers. And I was asking him, because how many were in Branson with us? Raise your hand if you were down in Branson at the Feces last year. So for our Bible study that we had, remember we were talking about storytelling? And wouldn't it be neat if the church would capture some place where people could share their stories of faith and have those recorded for each of the individual church areas? If you just need some inspiration, you can go online and listen to 6 or 7 or 8 stories of miracles in people's lives and stories of faith. And he really liked the idea. He said, I think that's fantastic. I said, good, now I'm dumping it all on you, and I don't have to worry about it. That's my good deed. And he was like, no, you need to stay involved in this one. Share stories about God and be inspired by those. A couple more items. Engage in what our parents are doing. Engage in what they're doing. Do you think Noah's sons engaged with him in building that ark each and every day? Definitely did. Did Ruth engage with Naomi and travel with her and go and do? How risky was that? And how did it turn out? Understand. And if we are parents and we have kids in this age range, think about that. How do I share with my child so I can engage with them and we can do things together? Last but not least, help them succeed. Now, parents are probably thinking, yeah, I've helped my kids succeed their whole life. Well, guess what? As children, we need to help our parents succeed. And not just our physical parents. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 talks about what we should be doing as Christians. Remember, we're talking about honoring our father and mother, and what are the implications from us doing that? 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Old King James used to say, worse than an infidel. I love that that word was in there. We're supposed to be helping others succeed. That's in this stage of our life. What's the final stage? What's the final stage of our life? Our parents are gone. We honor their legacy. We honor their legacy. So how do we do this? How do we do this? Well, hopefully when we talk about our parents who have passed, we're sharing positive stories that give them credit. Proverbs 10, verse 7 says, the memory of the righteous is blessed. Proverbs 10, verse 7. Now, I'm not naive as a parent. Every story my daughters have to tell about me won't be something perfect. But when I'm gone, they can choose which stories to tell. Right? We can choose which stories to tell. Thankfully, for our Father in heaven, when we're telling stories about his interaction in our lives, they're all perfect. But even if we're talking about challenges, where God allowed challenges to happen to us, God allowed us to have a challenge to learn from, we can talk about it in that light and not say negative things about our Father in heaven. What else can we do? Appreciate their reputation. Appreciate the reputation that our parents bring. Someone in the congregation last week was telling me stories about his father. And what a tremendous reputation. What does Proverbs 22:1 say about the reputation that our parents leave behind? A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Do we carry their legacy? Do we honor them by supporting their legacy? Build on their foundation. Build on the blessings they gave us. Everything we get from our parents isn't a blessing. But pause and write down, What did I get from my parents? Some of you may dispute this, but I got a better vocabulary from my mother. She helped me with my grammar. Now, we all know I'm not perfect. I still have a ways to go. But my writing and my love for education, my father supported that too. My in-laws, having different experiences, being willing to go and do things, always being there to talk about the Bible and talk about sermons and talk about adventures. They've traveled and done things. My parents, when I think about appreciating their reputation and building on their foundation, every single time my wife and I moved, from the time we were married, my parents were there unpacking boxes. And Mr. Bailey, I know he can share. His mother-in-law was back here helping them unpack, I think. She came back and threw in too. Think about that. Parents that drive, no matter where you are, help you drive. You all would have been laughing like crazy seeing us drive the giant diesel moving truck back from Pasadena, California, with Susie and my mom and my sister in a car loaded to the bear, and my dad and I in this giant moving truck going across New Mexico at 3 in the morning with the stars out and him playing Spike Jones to keep me awake. Does anyone know who Spike Jones is? Boy, if you want to hear some loud, crazy music, turn on Spike Jones from the 40s probably or 50s, probably the 40s. What a memory. And they were there to help us every time. Finally, how do we honor their legacy? 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. We need to finish the race. We need to finish the race. Now, maybe your parents supported you in your relationship with God, and that's wonderful. We need to finish the race to be there to see them. Maybe your parents didn't support you. They weren't called by God. We need to finish the race to be there when they're resurrected. And we don't have to say, "See, I told you so." We can say, "Yay, you're here." It'll be so much easier because they know. They'll know from your example. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. So we can honor our parents in every stage of life. Well, you may ask me, what if I didn't have godly parents? As a matter of fact, my parents were downright evil. Some people grow up that way. What happens? How do we learn what we can learn from this? Please turn with me over to Mark 10. It's not too late. Mark 10. Mark 10, and we're going to start in verse 28. Mark 10. What if I don't have godly parents? Mark 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say to Christ, "See, we've left all and followed you. I gave it all up." So Jesus answered and said, so we know the context of what Peter was talking about. What did Jesus say in verse 29? "Assuredly I say to you, Peter, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now," right now. The body of Christ is our family, no matter what our age. Now, sometimes it can be hard to see that. Sometimes it can be hard to see that. And that's people who've had situations where they didn't have loving parents. It's hard to see honoring our parents and the value for that. It's hard to see appreciating that these two human beings brought me into this world. It's hard to see. But we can have those relationships in the church. We can. And if we are older and we can't find someone to be adopted parents in the church, maybe I'm in my 90s. I'm not singling anybody out. Maybe I'm in my 90s and I can't find anybody to be my adopted parents. 1 Peter 2:17 solves that. Interesting that Peter's involved here too. He must have learned something from Christ in this back and forth conversation. 1 Peter 2:17. What does it say? 1 Peter 2:17. And I'm in 2 Peter. I did that this morning when I was checking my scriptures. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. We can show honor to all people. We can show honor. And over 1 Peter 3, verse 9, what does it mean to have honor and to show honor to people? Let's read. I'm going to start in verse 8. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, just right across the page. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Don't return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. When we honor others, we're a blessing, no matter who that person is. When we honor our parents, we're a blessing to them. When we honor those that we're over, think in terms of work. You may be a manager. We're a blessing to them. Think about those of us that have the opportunity to be in the ministry. When I have the opportunity, when any minister has the opportunity to serve and to help, we can be a blessing. Hopefully this sermon at the end feels like a blessing. That's the intention, to take time and to find something that we can think about to help us to feel good and connect and have a better relationship with our Father. All of us can be a blessing in whatever we do, to our siblings, to our peers. The story in the article that I read, someone talked about, it's amazing how you can be a superior in one situation and a subordinate in another. And they said, here's the story. He took his daughter shopping. She was 17 years old. And she went into the store, and the lady came up to help because they were buying a dress, and she said, how can I help you, ma'am? A 40-year-old woman who worked at the store said to his 18-year-old daughter, how can I help you, ma'am? She was a blessing. She subordinated herself to the customer in that situation. She was still older. There was still honor that needed to be showed to her, but she did that. We can all do that. We can be a blessing to others, especially if we didn't have the opportunity to have godly parents. We can see what God wants us to learn and what God wants us to see and to reach out to others and have those conversations. I know we have a lot of adopted aunties and uncles from where we've moved. And anybody who has that title from the Heritage Girls, it's well earned. They believe that. They feel that way, that they have family members. And they honor each and every one of you that's done that with them. So in conclusion, think about this. Honoring our father and mother means so much more than just our physical parents. God created the family to help us in all relationships in life and through eternity, especially our relationship with God. Our Father wants us to grow in showing love and honor to others as opposed to honoring ourselves. One of my favorite movies is called Gladiator, and Russell Crowe's in that movie. And in that movie, the emperor is saying some very awful things to him to try to get his goat. And I showed it to my daughter this morning. I said, I don't know if I'm going to say this in the sermon. I said, but I can't help myself. Russell Crowe's line, one of my favorite lines in the movie, is he was standing there and he looked up and he said, the time for honoring yourself will be over soon, Your Highness. Naturally, we like to honor ourselves and think about what I need, what's important to me. But God wants us to grow in showing love and honor to others as opposed to honoring ourselves. Let's appreciate God's love for us and show honor to all as we should.